Hi, welcome to Model Train Talk. I'm your host, Denny Tolliver. On this week's episode, I have model train expert Walt Waltzen. How you doing, Walt?
Hey, Denny. Hi, folks. I'm Walt Waltzen. Today on Model Train Talk, we're talking about how to lay a good foundation for your model train set.
Oh, choo-choo, mother!
Folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. Guru, what are you doing?
Beans. Kidney beans. Kento beans.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, child, you're safe now.
What does that mean? What is beans?
Dude, I am at my cabin. I have no food. I'm eating a can of warm beans.
Did you warm these like between your legs? Do you just put them between your thighs and shuffle them about? Or how did you warm said beans?
I'm hot, baby. I run hot. Friction, son.
Hot tonight.
Yeah.
Warm. You're disgusting. Just sitting in a cabin. Do you have power? Is there like electricity? Are you sitting in the dark eating beans?
By the way, I forgot to mention, I did not warm them up in the can.
Okay. You warm them up in a bowl or something, I hope?
No container.
Listen, nobody wants to admit they ate 6 cans of ravioli, okay?
Except I eat 6 cans of beans.
6 cans of beans. That is, wow. That is the info that people tune in for. Thank you. Good night. Anyway, I guess you're up there to go on the big hunt.
Hunting. Boot daddy himself.
Killing. Touching.
Gutting.
Just getting
that scrotum.
God. Jeez, dude. Hey, man, what's in these beans, man?
Little hops? I don't know.
There's something wrong with you. Anyway, I check, man, when it comes to deer hunting, I just check out because it's like anything that involves like, hey, let's cut this thing's butthole out. I just lose all interest. It's like rule number one. It's like, what's the first thing you do? Cut out its butthole.
What's that dish down south that you guys eat? It's like fried butthole or something.
Fried.
I heard about it. I heard fried some dishes down there. That's kind of weird.
Oh.
When you guys eat possum down there, don't you?
We don't eat pot. Are you talking about chitlins where it's like pig and
chitlins? Yeah.
Chitlins. That is butthole. Well, close enough. It's attached to said butthole. Yeah, it's pretty gross, man. Chitlins are disgusting. They are, I believe, pig intestines that have been moderately cleaned. They sort of wash them out and then they cook them and you eat them sort of like noodles with hot sauce. It's really gross.
By the way, I did want to let you know, yeah. Steve, when you're gutting a deer,
right,
if you don't want to touch the butthole.
Why?
They do make a butthole remover.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. They sell it at Fleet Farm.
Deer?
Google it right now. Deer butthole remover at Fleet Farm. It's an orange like spike thingy. You put it in, has a bunch of crazy prongs.
Oh my
on it,
God.
Twist it up. I tell you what, Steve, you put it up there, you ain't getting it
okay.
out.
Okay. All right. Yeah, man. Customers you've viewed, I'm on Amazon right now. Hunter's Specialties Butt Out 2 Big Game Dressing Tool Orange. Wow, let's oh my goodness. Wow, dude. Why I'm
an old fashioned man, so I'm old fashioned. I like to use my hands and my fingers.
Oh my, I am just aghast. For $12.95, you can buy a butthole remover on the internet.
You wanna know how you use it? You stick it up there, and you cut around it.
Tyler, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm looking at the specs on this, and I feel bad for the deer because this thing's 11.8 inches long. Oh, here's the fun thing. It has Q&As on the Amazon listing. How I'm going to write on here. How large of a butthole is this for?
Oh. Asking for a friend.
Post question. Post. Oh, thank you, Amazon. If you don't believe me, I just posted that on Amazon on the listing. If you want to get on there and answer, how large of a butthole is this for? Feel free to. Wow, we are off to a rocky start, Tyler. We've lost.
We're degenerates.
Every sponsor already here. It's a real product. You can't get mad. It's called a butthole remover. I didn't make it up. You didn't make it up, but it's an 11.8-inch long butthole remover.
I got another product for you.
Please
What's
don't.
What's that fish cleaning tool?
No.
What's the fish cleaning tool?
God, dude.
You know what
dude,
I'm talking about.
What? Oh, my God, dude. I did. Hold on. Are you you're thinking?
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. We've sent each other pictures of it before. We're like, hey, check this out, man. You need this. What am I talking about, Steve? You got to look it up here. I got no Wi-Fi.
Oh, my God. I got it pulled up. I can't, dude. Oh, I'm going to use that as a screenshot for the podcast this week. Tyler. Okay. You were like getting us in trouble already this week. The product you're talking about is called the Wonder Boner, isn't it?
It's a magic. It's magic.
Oh, my goodness. It is the Wonder Boner. God, man, we got to move on here. You're going to get me killed. But that was a real infomercial. And the guy's like, hey, man, I caught some trout. I don't want to clean them. He's like, I've got the Wonder Boner. Yeah, I know. It's like, it's horrible, too. It's like, man,
oh my God.
Welcome to the Bad Outdoor Product Podcast. Oh, my God, dude, I'm flipping through this video right now. Yeah, I'm going to screenshot that. Got to hit that with the old image capture here real quick. I can't ever. Now, here's the problem, Tyler. Do you want to walk me? I can't remember. Is this under Finder? It is. Oh, man.
Do any of our listeners actually own a Wonder Boner?
Listen. If you can prove you own a Wonder Boner, you're a god amongst men. You know, you'll win something.
We'll give you something. This is like a separate contest on its own.
Here's the contest. Go out to Dad's garage and try to find your dad's Wonder Boner. That's what you're trying to do. You know, it's a little old for most of our listeners there, but it exists. Oh my God, Tyler. Why did I let you drag me down these twisted roads here?
It's tangent time, baby.
My browser history is not. If you look, deer butthole remover, Wonder Boner. All right, man. You're killing me here, Smalls. You're killing me. Anyway, for anybody that tuned in for muskie related talk, you're deer hunting. Seems like most of the North Woods has sort of turned their attention to the dirt.
Dude, the Orange Army is out full blaze orange. It is crazy.
Really? Is it just like deer hunt fiesta everywhere?
It's deer hunt fiesta. There's no bullets to find. There's nothing. There's no gear. You go to the store to buy something in the month of November, there's nothing. Nothing left. Bare bones, son.
What do you mean as far as just like...
You want to get a tree stand umbrella? Gone. You want to buy some bullets? Those have been gone for a long time. You want to buy some blaze orange? Still around. They still got some of that. But
nice.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of stuff is just little stuff.
Basically, we're down to the absolute hardcore of hardcore that are still on the water, right?
Yeah, you got to. On my drive up north here, there was I saw one lake basically had a couple inches of ice on it, and the lake across the street did not. So it's kind of. You're hardcore if you're out there, man.
Well, that's good stuff. It's the one thing, if you're sitting around and going, what am I going to do this winter? It's starting to fire up and get good in the South. That's the cool thing is I'm down here in Tennessee. And Ohio's getting good. West Virginia, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, all that stuff is starting to gear up. And obviously, we're gonna keep you in all the hot button musky info during that. But anyway, Tyler, oh, shoot, stuff that's coming up. So one thing I did want to mention, and it's worth mentioning, let us know, because if you guys haven't noticed, I guide all the time, Tyler's on the water all the time, all this stuff. So over the summer and the fall, it's tough until these days start getting shorter to do guests. But if you guys have anybody like, hey, we want you to bring on this guy, we'd love to hear more about that. Let us know, because we know most of these real important musky guys, boys. So let us know what you want to learn about this winter. We're going to really focus on some learning stuff. We got some other big announcements coming up I'll let you know about, but got some other important people going to join the podcast over this. But if there's anything over the winter you're like, hey, I really want to learn about this or that or this, shoot us a message and let us know. I'll make sure we get some guests, because it gets dark at 2:15 in the afternoon now. You know, it's just like you wake up and it's dark. You come home and it's dark. I get off the water and I'm like pulling into traffic. It's really weird. You know, there's people still running around everywhere. We're in that point of time where it's like it's pitch black at 5:30. I hate it. It's really annoying. The days are short, though. That's a cool thing. Your bite windows. Yeah, your bite windows tighten up, all that. But
it's
anyway,
garbage.
That also, too, Black Friday. Black Friday. Ooh. You want to buy things? You want to buy bait? Yes, you want baits?
Do you want to do it from the safety of your home where you don't get stabbed by broken Christmas ornaments?
Oh, God. Well, the Black Friday. Oh, dude, I'm going to miss that. Like, this year, like, nobody's going to... I live for getting on World Star and watching people just get pummeled at Black Friday.
Oh, it's the best. You ever hear that person that was like, thought someone cut in line in front of them, grabbed a Christmas order, broke it like a glass bottle, and stabbed someone in the back?
I hope. I would, please.
It's just insane.
Listen, if they're having Black Friday where you're at, please don't film vertically. Film in landscape like a human. Okay?
Yes. I film basically professionally. I want no shakiness. You got to film it on a stabilizer or some sort of
and turn the phone sideways.
Sideways. It's got to be stable.
It's the people that are willing to go to Walmart on Black Friday and fight people. They don't know to film in landscape. Please, if you're in a Black Friday fight, film in landscape.
Actually, you know what? How about you just wear a GoPro on your head and your chest, and you go around, and if you're going to get in a fight, you got it captured.
You're just fighting old ladies over knickknacks. I don't think a lot of places are going to have in-person Black Friday sales this year. I don't know, because of a certain pandemic health crisis thing. I don't know.
It'll be interesting to hear the stories.
But that parlays into the boys at the Muskie Shop going to have a hot Black Friday sale. Do you need a big black pounder, Tyler?
Yes, I do.
You can get it at Black Friday, baby. It's Black Friday, black pounders.
Item that I saw on the Muskie Shop website that's like, oh, man. For these hardcore guys, it's the fish monkey gloves.
I thought you were going to say Steve Paul hoodie. Oh.
that too.
You just said that, and actually, in all honesty, those fish monkey gloves are awesome.
Oh, yeah,
those are actually, if you're going to be like fishing like I am all year long, those fish monkey gloves, and we're not shilling for fish monkey. I don't know anything about them other than they have them there. I tried some of those on, and there were these, you know, old codgers coming into the store like, I would need me some suckers. You know, I'm there. Give me the suckers. And I heard multiple guys come in the store talk about how good those gloves were.
You know how bad my hands are in the summer, Steve.
Yeah,
you know, like the calluses, it's repulsive.
Your hands look like Freddy Krueger's face.
Yes, that's because I have gone through every single brand of glove. I'm on like construction type worker gloves, all sorts of crazy stuff. Fish monkeys, I actually really like them.
Really?
They actually work.
Yeah. It's like, God, it's silly, but one thing I run into is like when you're fishing in the winter, you got to keep your hands going.
Oh, it's brutal. The aches, the cold aches.
And
the deep bone aches.
But, you know, that's the thing is there's some really good like gloves and whatever. Like I said, I got myself a pair just because they were warm. And when the old Minocqua codgers are coming in saying something's, they're complaining about everything else, but they say something's good. It's probably pretty good. Give me them fish monkey gloves. Oh, man. Wow, Tyler. Wow. This is the entertainment you signed up for. That was a But it has a good spider monkey. It's funny you brought that up. No, I don't know if those are going to be on sale, but check out. I know we're going to announce it. We'll have a thing on the app that the Muscat Shop Arena going to have a Black Friday sale. They always do some crazy stuff. So if you need some gear, hold out. They're going to have like really cool stuff going on. You can also get on there and get your Musky Shop Steve Paul Back in Black version 1 hoodie.
Oh,
you could get a hoodie. All it means is we'd have the same shirt, and I like that means we're friends. If we have matching shirts, it's like, hey, yeah, we got the same shirt. Listen, buy a Steve Paul version 1 Back in Black hoodie, and I will send you a Junior Zen Lines. Jason, sorry. That's just narcissism. I will send you a Junior Zen Lines. First person lets me know you bought one of those hoodies. Because it's dope. Anyway.
Dope.
I'm a dope. That's why they did it. The other thing, guys. We're just rambling here. I'm sorry. But we are a day late, Tyler. Because the computer crashed. Me and Tyler did this yesterday, and we're doing it again today. It's like this podcast, this episode is like government work. If you know, it wouldn't be government work if you didn't have to do it twice. So anyway, on from that, there's a question, and I will say this, guys, I did lose. If you send in a question, we haven't answered it, resend it, because I delete the emails after we get them. And then we did this yesterday. I had to recover some of it. So I missed your question. It's not because we don't want to answer it. It's because I lost it and I'm really stupid and I don't know how to get them back. But the first one, we looked at this and it was worth talking about a little bit at length, Tyler, is Kyle. Kyle asked an interesting question. He said, love the podcast. He said, thanks for the help each week. It's great advice. He said, in your opinion, what lure or bait has made the biggest impact, past or present, in the muskie game today? He said, keep hammering those Pepsis in the muskie, boys. He wants to know what lure has had the biggest impact. Tyler, we sort of talked about it yesterday. What's worth bringing up was I think that the biggest impact in muskie fishing, and it's sort of twofold, are double eights and tens and bulldogs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because, you know, if you look back, you know, when I started, we didn't have those. And it's like literally like when tens came out, dude, when tens first came out and not everybody had double tens, it was the closest, or it was a unfair advantage if you had those and nobody else had them. Just period. Because before that, everybody's throwing, you know, eagle tails, throwing 700 Booker tails. But to sit here and you've got these two big old pie plate blades hanging off there that's moving that much water. Everybody knows tens catch muskies, period. And, you know, I remember as an early adopter, I had that bait and that was like no one, like at certain lakes and certain times, nobody else had that. And it's so common now, and they still catch fish, and they're always going to catch fish. Not like they did originally, but, you know, you were catching fish that had been caught an hour and a half before. They've never seen tens. I mean, think about that. If you just started musky fishing, or you've been doing it in the last 10 years, it seems so commonplace, but they didn't always exist. The same thing with bulldogs, because there was a bait called a Big Joe. You've ever seen those, Tyler?
No, okay. I'm too young.
Yeah, Big Joe was like the first Pool Paul's rubber bait. It's a dual tail thing. And that was like sort of the early bulldog-ish kind of ripping bait. But then once the actual bulldog came on the scene, it was another one of those things like, how on earth did we live without this? And those are the two. But the thing is this, it seems so, to say that as the answer, it seems so ridiculous because, yeah, they're so common. Right? To say that a 10 and a bulldog is such a big deal, but that's what everybody throws. What does everybody throw right now, Tyler? They all throw double 10s, double 8s, bulldogs, and topwater.
That's it.
That is like, so as far as what everyone throws right now, take away half of that. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not great with the time, but what, 15? Well, gosh, it's longer than that. 20 some years? I don't know. whenever 10s came out and the Bulldogs originally came out, you go, take those away, and you go, wow. I know I'm dating myself a little bit here, but I remember when that first hit and you went, what's this crap? You know, what's this? We call, used to call Bulldogs sluggos. You know, here's this, it looks like a big old slug. You know, it was so foreign when you first got them. You're like, and I think I've told the story before, like the seedy parking lot deal in Wisconsin of buying the first Bulldogs. It's like you're meeting a guy that knows a guy that knows another guy that's getting them, you know. It's like buying crack or something, you know. I know a guy, if you meet him in this parking lot. It was such a foreign bait, you know, and you go as far as like just revolutionizing what we're doing as muskie anglers. I mean, you could say that with any bait. Look at, you know, the thing with like Suix when they first came out. That was just revolutionary, right?
They've been around forever, too.
Literally, it was like Adam, Eve, and the Suic. Like right thereafter, they're like, oh, yeah, okay. Suic. But, you know, I think the story goes with like Frank Suic, or I think it's Frank or Fred. You know, they tried to outlaw him from throwing those back in the day. You know, it was like, it was cheating. It was so, so good. But, you know, if you had to, if I had to pin it down of baits that have made a massive impact on the sport that it still resonate today, that's it. Because without Bulldogs, you wouldn't have Medusas. You wouldn't have the Toad. You wouldn't have the litany, Double Ds, all this, or, you know, the litany of rubber knockoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have that. And if it wasn't for Double Tens, for the Muskie Mayhem, Cowgirls, Showgirls, all that stuff, you wouldn't see all these other companies sprout up where they're making double eights, double tens. You know, if it wasn't for Mayhem, you're not going to have Spanky. You're not going to have, you know, Bite Back. You're not going to have all these other blade makers. You know, because back in the day, it was Eagle Tails, Booker Tails, Giant Killers, you know, some Shumway stuff. You got this, you got Wendell's, you got all your classic stuff, but like the all flashaboo, double blades, like what everybody throws now, just didn't exist just mere decades ago. Just didn't exist. And you go, the world changed. But it's really one of those things. If you look at muskie fishing, this is like the golden age of muskie fishing, though. It really is, because if you look at the baits available to us today and the quality of the tackle, so you've got almost 99.9% conservation, right? Tyler, me and you have fished on lakes where it's like the DNR wants you to take muskies out of them.
Like, take them, please.
Please, there's too many. And we're like, no way, dude. You know, it's no one's like taking fish home and eating them. It's just not happening. You know, it's just like, so you have the best conservation we've ever had. You have the best bait selection we've ever had. You have freaking amazing rods, you have super reels, you've got super braid line, you got fluorocarbon. It's like the golden age to me, and I think those two have had the biggest impact. Where do you go, you know, they're so pervasive. Because I mean, I don't think if the Bulldog wasn't successful, I don't think without Bulldogs you would have Medusas. I don't think Poseidons would have taken off. I don't think, you know, all this the big rubber deal. You know, I just don't think it would have taken off like it has in that sense. You know, I mean, what do you think, Tyler? Am I on or am I off, or what do you think?
You're off. You're wrong. You don't know anything.
Thank you. I know
loser.
That.
Loser. Pour beans on yourself, man.
Too late. These beans have been spilled.
No, that's spot on. I mean, there's nothing else that really was like – shook the water pretty good, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the wall here in the bait cave, and it's just like, okay, so you look at the evolution. I love thinking about this stuff, and it's what me and you talk about all the time. You look at like the evolution of baits, right?
Yeah.
So you've got Suix and you got Bobby baits, right? If it wasn't for those, you're not gonna have Leviathans and Bar Fighters and, you know, all these like souped up baits. So I think a lot of stuff ends up coming in and out of style, but everything sort of builds off of it, right? Like it builds, like you start with a Amabama and a Magic Maker, and then we end up throwing Hellhounds, and you go, you know, you couldn't put a gun to my head and get me to throw a Magic Maker versus a Hellhound anymore. You know, Hellhound's going to win every day, but Magic Maker came out. Cobb, Round Noses. Again, Alabama, some of these early guide baits sort of led to what we have today in the glider scene. But it's rare, Tyler, that like a bait comes out where it's like, boom, this is new. Like, it's not the evolution of things. It's just a new class of baits. You know, me and you've talked about it before. It's like you always sit around and go, will there be a next class of baits or different stuff coming out?
Who knows?
You know?
Who knows?
There's just a lot of...
Maybe people will be fishing with magnets that just, like, hook fish from 100 yards away.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't think it'll be hooking fish, but I think you're going to see more tech going into stuff. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like... You know, Livingston has like the EBS technology, the sound emanating stuff. Yeah, it's different. You've got that going on. And I think, you know, I've seen some baits, prototypes of stuff where people have like baits that are autonomous swimmers. Like you cast it out and it just like sort of does its own thing with little servo motors and stuff. I don't know, but it's always neat to think about. It's a cool question. We appreciate it. Gonna start hamming them into the meat. We got Reggie.
Reggie
says, what are some cool topwater lures that are not tail prop baits? What's some different presentations? Well, I'm going to go over here to the muskyshop.com. It's a beautiful.
Get your stuff at the musky shop.
It's a beautiful website. Whoever built this. I'm looking here. Let's go. See, you got your Weagles, non-tail prop. Livingston Lures Walking Boss. That's like a big old jitterbug. Weagles. I love Weagles. That's a heck of a walk the dog. Tyler.
Yeah.
Papa Chubby.
Papa Chubby over here.
You got the
How big is your Papa Chubby?
They offer. Ooh. Is your Papa Chubby 6 inches or is your Papa Chubby 8 inches?
Do they offer a micro?
Micro chubby. That's it. Tyler Andrews' new bait he just came out is the micro Papa Chubby.
About a micro really wide one that's like super small, downsized, but like really fat?
I'm done, dude. I'm done. Anyway, that's interesting. Interesting bait, the Big Fork Papa Chubby. I have one of those. It's got like the jitterbug lip on it, and it's segmented, and it's got a little prop on the back, but it sort of has like a creeper-esque sound, but that leads us to my favorite, your favorite, Tyler, is the Bit and Tackle Creeper.
Yes.
Wicked.
Yes.
They creep. They crawl. They're creepy. They're crawly.
They sneak up on you.
I had one crawl up under the sheets and try to kill me. They're murderous. They're creepy crawly. Now, I love that Bit and Tackle Creeper. I think they're ripping. Caught a lot of big fish on them. That's one thing is like, if you're looking for something different, I guess from your question, get away from all this tail prop stuff to look and sound different. Creepers really get the job done. What else?
I mean, if you're fishing like a body of water that has a high population of bats and the muskies, you know, they eat a lot of bats, like their diet consists of like guano and a lot of bats. Sometimes they have rabies. Steve, what do we go with?
Man, you're talking one of my personal favorites, the Savage Gear 3D bat. You're horrible, Tyler. You're going to get us in trouble. Here's the thing. Do you want to know I joke about that bait. I've caught muskies on that.
Oh, yeah. It works. It's crazy.
They have the... Okay. It's literally just a mass production creeper, though. They have... I've not thrown the 90. For $8.99, though,
you can get a darn good creeper.
That's the thing. I'm going to tell you. It's got little legs on it. It's got little furry legs. It's got a little furry butt. Okay, here's the deal. Get you a 3D bat for $8.99 and cut the legs off, number one, because you don't want anybody to see you throwing this thing. and take the little fur hooks off of it, put you some real hooks on there, and you actually have a really good creeper. They work great
for a good price. If you want to get into the creeping game,
most of the women you've ever met in your life called you a creeper, this bait's for you.
Unfortunately.
Well, there's one. Hold on. There's one. Why does the gray one have little fur legs and the other one doesn't? Okay, if you look at the pictures here, I'm on the Muskie Shop. This one's got little furry legs. You can see his little bat toes. Take the fur hooks off. It's actually, dude, for literally, they've been blowing those things out. I bought them I bought it to see if it was worth anything. And I used it and I put clients on it because it's just like, okay, let's see what this will do. And they sound good. They do catch fish. Cut his little furry legs off now. Save them in a jar. Yeah, that's the legs off my little fur creeper. Not all of them have little furry legs now.
I mean, if you want to get into the creeping game, that's a pretty good, easy start. Doesn't cost you much.
That's a cheap creep, they call it, boys. Cheap creep! No. That's a good point. Because you've got, like, the other one, like, creeper-wise, those Muskie Safari Spitzers, the Stumblebee. You know, those are pretty customized, sort of offbeat baits. What else that's interesting? I like their... Have you thrown one of those cattail rats, Tyler?
No, but I've looked at it.
It's not quite a G rat, but it ranks up there. I've not thrown those. I was looking at those. Those are interesting. They're a good build. I've seen it. But if you're just looking for that different sound, get away from it, away from the top props. The Nas Twisted Tin Head, that's cool. Creepers, Papa Chubbies, Hog Wobblers. That's another bait not enough people throw. It's sort of like old school. I like a hog wobbler. Tyler?
Does your hog wobble?
Your hog wobbler showing, sir. Please. Have some decency. I can see your hog wobbler from here.
If I squint,
your hog wobbler. They have the Magnum Hog Wobbler and the Little Hog Wobbler. Actually, that's a really neat bait if you want to get away from tail prop. If you're fishing pressure water, that's cool. So hopefully that's some good ideas for you. Lynn says, what are your southern strategies for winter?
Get going, southern boy. That's all you.
It's all me, baby. Okay. Basic. Okay. This could be like an hour long here, so I'll keep it real short. Always check shallow, but be looking at the first break line. 12 to 15 foot breaks. That's where they're going to winter. They're going to move up on those shallow zones. They're not going to get too far from the shallows. The reason being, if it's not extremely cold. So let's say we have an average winter where it's not cold, cold, cold. Don't go looking on, don't be Captain Ahab and try to catch a fish out of a billion feet of water. You know, get where your boat has been positioned all summer is where you're casting to now, right? So if your boat's in 15 and you're throwing the shallows, move out and make sure your plugs are landing where your boat was before. That's the best way to do it. Slow down. Don't go too deep. You know, that's one thing is everybody tries to fish under these fish in the winter. Suspending baits, slow baits, hang time. It's all about hang time in the South in the winter, being able to just let that presentation just pause. And I'm not talking whip, stop. I'm talking pause, 2, 3, 4. You know, big, long counts in between stuff. That's what I'm doing. When I'm trolling, I'm not trying to troll too deep, and I'm not trying to troll too fast. So there's finding that happy median based on water temp and conditions. Is like my trolling passes are going to be controlled, and they're going to be right on that same kind of zone that I'm casting, slow and big and slow, just like I like them, Tyler. I like them big and I like them slow. That's what I'm going to focus on there. Next is Tom. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. I'm about to winterize my boat for the year and just curious if you guys have any tips or recommendation. Example, stabilizing fuel, full tank versus empty tank, fogging the engine, Steve, I know you fish around, but maybe you still have some pointers since you're sexy. Yeah, Tom. We got a freak. Tyler, we got a freak.
I like it freaky.
Tom eats beans, guaranteed.
I mean, dude, beans.
Beans. Tom wrote that email just sitting on his couch with a dirty old laptop eating beans out of a can. But I am sexy. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Oh, goodness. I used to run two boats like a psychopath, which was annoying. And so I would winterize one of them. Stabilizer in the fuel tank. Absolutely. I always kept my fuel full because you don't want to get moisture in the tank. Fogging, if you're tired, do they fog your engines when you're up there and it's like super cold?
I mean, I have no idea. I don't winterize my own boat.
You just take it to Premier Power Sports.
So. Honestly, I am so freaking busy. I literally don't have the time.
Okay.
I'm just I've done it. Do stuff.
So you want to fog it. Fogging an engine, you use what's called a fogging oil, and you spray it into the carburetors. And it is a oil that just sort of sticks to everything, and you end up running it through the engine, shutting it down. There's plenty of YouTube and all kinds of fun stuff to do that, which will keep all the surfaces inside that engine, whether it be, you know, the pistons, the crankcase, inside your carburetors and stuff, from getting any oxidation while they're setting. Biggest rules of thumb, like I said, we are not experts. If you want help with this, call Brian at Premier Power Sports. Obviously, they're a sponsor of the app. You can find the link under my 360 section. Call up there. These guys are experts. But the basics of this, number one, get all the water out of your outboard, period. Run freaking what I do. And even in the winter when it's sub-freezing, I run antifreeze through my engine at night. And so I'll run it through a pair of ears that I have rigged up and then just, you know, the little pee stream out of the back I just collect. So it's not like killing the environment or anything and just reuse it, but I'll just try to get as much moisture out of the engine as possible. So make sure that that's dry. You know, you can fog it if you want. I always have the fuel tank full. I use a bunch of stable in there so the fuel doesn't go bad during the winter. Cover everything up, get your electronics off there. You know, put some stuff on your electronical connection so they're not going to oxidize or get moisture, which goes to the next one, Tyler, which is Calvin asked, and it's the same topic. What do you do when it comes to winterizing your gear or shutting your gear down for the year? What are you doing, Tyler, for your rods, your reels, your lures at the end of the season up there to sort of make sure that they're good for next year?
Okay, there's two schools of thought. Okay, I've seen my friend Jay lives next to this guy they call Junkyard Dog. All right, what he does is takes all.
He sounds like, wow, Tyler. Is this a West Virginia story? Because anybody,
this is a northern Wisconsin story. So
you guys are classy up there. Junkyard dog.
So what he does in the winter, he takes all his musky baits, uh-huh, and he has two pine trees. He mm-hmm. hangs all his musky baits in the pine trees with line attached, and he leaves his rods just on the side of the garage. You can do that if you want to be like Junkyard Dog.
Listen, does it? Let's ask. I'm just going to ask what everybody's wondering. How many teeth is this guy missing?
A lot.
Okay.
Okay. If you want to be like Junkyard Dog, you can do that. It's fine. It's America. Do whatever you want.
America. America. You're musky country.
There's a musky country, boy. Anyway, if you want to be like Junkyard Dog, do that. Whatever. America. So, or this is what I do because I'm a little bit more classy. I got some class to me. So
you wrap all your lures in doilies. Just individually doily each lure. Correct? You're so classy.
Classy.
You smear your reels with Gras Papon.
Oh my gosh.
Come on, what do you do?
So I take the reels off my rods. I strip them of all the line because I'm going to replace the line in spring anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I back the drag off so there's no pressure on the washers inside the drag because mm-hmm. they combine together with a lot of pressure over time.
Yep.
So I relax them so it don't have to repair them
nice
a lot
and relaxed.
In the future. Nice, relaxed. And I throw them in a fireproof gun safe and let them sit for 6 months until spring. And then the rods, I hang up on horizontal rod holders in my basement. Mm-hmm. And nice temperature controlled area. I'm not going to let them sit out in somewhere cold, because you know what? It can be like negative 40 up in northern Wisconsin sometimes.
Right.
Like it probably won't do anything to them, but I'm just not going to let
them. That's not good for anything, though.
Yeah, like my trolling motor, I take that off and I store it in a temperature controlled area, because I'm not going to let it sit in negative 40 degree weather.
You sleep with it in the bed, correct?
It's actually under my bed.
It's under my
bed. I kiss it goodnight every night. It's night. My baby.
Good night, Minn Kota. Good night, Tyler.
Continue.
with lures, I just hang them up. I make sure they're aired. I don't store, like, right after the season ends, if I have like a bucktail or something that's like soaking wet, I'll hang it out and let it air dry for a while. Because I feel like you shut it and then you put it in there, and it's a deep, dark, moist basement.
Deep, dark,
and then
moist.
And then you bring it out. That thing's going to be like, I don't know, a rock.
Like
the tinsel literally becomes oh my gosh, you know exactly.
Yeah, it gets all matty and ugh.
Yeah. It's like, gosh darn it. I try to avoid that.
Do you worry about, like, rust, or do you have to do anything like silica packs or anything like that for rust on the hooks?
I throw silica packs
in your food, in your parents' food.
In my food. It's healthy for you. But sometimes I'll throw some of that in parts of my boat. I throw it in my tackle box, hook boxes to prevent rust, stuff like that.
Just keep moisture out, yeah.
If there's rust on hooks, I cut those hooks off and put new ones on in spring for a project or whatever. I don't usually do it right away because winter can be pretty depressing.
Nice. The big depression shows up. It's time to cry. Anyway, Jim says, hey, guys, I was wondering what types of clip snaps you guys use, and have you had success with your leaders, or what have you had success with on your leaders? What are your thoughts about fastage snaps like the ones on JBO leaders? Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. I was waiting for somebody. God, man, we're retarded.
I got you. I knew that'd get you.
You got me with that. It's not it's the little things that kill me, folks. The subtle humor, like, anyway. You did that and you started that whole thing because it wasn't a JBO leader, but I called you one day when I had a guy had a brand new spanky bait on. I'm talking like $30 bait here. Puts it on this fast attached leader, makes a cast, and it just goes flinging off. That was when I was done. I was like, there's no way. We figured it out. I actually had a GoPro running, and you just watch it. The lure just like does this, whoop, whoop, flips around on this fast attached thing and goes winging out. I won't say the client's name, but me and him stood there forever like, you got to be kidding me. And
I remember you called me. I called you. So mad.
Oh, I was madder than hell. I mean, I just scratched the price tag off the blades. I was like, all right, new bait. They ain't for me, baby. I'll tell you that much. I saw that happen. I went, okay, that could be a fish. I don't know how he'd get the leverage to do it in the water, but that was goofy. And the leader was fine. It was just the perfect storm where, whether it was the casting angle, whether it was just like something goofy happened, the wind caught it the right way, but it was like doo-doop, gone. That's how I feel about them. Tyler, your sound at the beginning pretty much summarized my feelings. What do you think? Did you get away from them after that, or are you still throwing them?
Yeah, I was done. I went to the old no BS.
No BS. That's
straight
it.
Piano wire and a split ring. That's it.
Yep.
Takes time, but do it. You won't lose a fish.
Do it. I use a big old saltwater grade 200-pound snaps.
Tuna.
If they're afraid of the if they'll come up and hit those 7-aught hooks, a big snap ain't gonna get them. I mean, it's not that big. It's like an inch or something, or shorter than that. You know, that's the thing, dude. If I'm like on a, like, this is the bite and I know it's working, then OBS works for me. That's it. It's just straight up no BS system, which is the old school. It's piano wire and split rings. There's nothing that could break on there. Next, Jeremy from Wisconsin. Hey, guys, I'm fairly new listener to the podcast. Well, we're sorry. We will try to get you up to speed with all of our horrible inside jokes and really juvenile humor. He says, loves the tips, tricks, and entertainment. I wanted to dig into the benefits of a 9-foot musky rod. My longest rods are currently 8.6, and I love the way it feels and works. I was going to pick up another 8.6 in a different action, but then heard this week's podcast and you guys talk about 9-foot rods. Now I'm second guessing what I should buy. I hear a lot about better figure eights with 9-footers, but what are the advantage of going with 9-foot rods? All right. Same answer as the last one.
4-footers.
Listen, me and Tyler are now fishing 4-footers. It's it.
We've reverted back to the old days that we think short pull cue rods are the way to go.
I got wild and bought myself a 5.1 pistol grip, Tyler. You guys have not lived. I've done it. You have not lived until you fish muskies with a pistol grip rod. It used to happen, Tyler. I'm not that old, but we had them when I was a kid. It is an Abu Garcia 6500 on a pistol grip St. Croix. That's living, boys. 30-pound mono, pistol grip rod. Woo! Shorts that were way too short. Welcome to the late 80s. Anyway, here's the deal. If I were you, I would not buy a new 8.6 because that is the equivalent of being like, hey, I'm going to go buy a new 7.6 now. Everything's going to 9-foot, 9.5. Musky Shop's got the 9-foot shield rods. Woot, woot. They're wonderful. Big old bang for the buck. That's what me and the guru fish. We've got a custom series of 9.6 telescoping coming, baby.
Ooh.
Yeah. And here's my thoughts. Me and the guru, Tyler, you're what, 6'3"?
Something tall and crazy.
Yeah, me and you are about the same height, 6'3".
Tall drink of water.
I wear I'm in stilettos, I'm 6'6". I know that much. Don't ask how. If I get into my wife's closet, I'm 6'6".
You got a secret life we don't know about, Steve?
Whole other podcast, baby. No, but, you know, us fishing, me and you've talked about it, Tyler. We're fish 8.6, and we're, like, bending over, and our backs are killing us all day. I've got a great client and friend, Robert, from Chicago. That dude's, like, 6'7", man. A 8-foot-6 rod for him is nothing, you know? So, for guys that are taller, if you're, you know, got some height on you, get a 9-footer. It's like you feel like everybody else did with an 8.6. You're like, oh, wow, this is great. You know, so get into that bigger rod game there. If you're a taller guy, you're going to appreciate it. I get a client named Tim. Tim's a giant, too. I think Tim's 6.6 as well. You know, 9-footer, he can finally figure eight without hunkering over. So if you're on the taller end of things, get a 9-foot and be done with it. The thing with this for the general fisherman, a really good figure eight with an 8.6, a good figure eight with a 9 is better than a good one with the 8.6, meaning like your crummy 8.6 figure eight is going to be better with a 9. Does that make any sense? Like your basic, like, I'm not trying that hard. You're picking up speed. You're picking up better angles. Your sweep around, your angles around the boat. The amount of water you're covering is exponentially bigger. But me and you, Ty, we've talked about this. I don't think once the shield 9.6s are in, I'm not going to go past that. We've tried 10s. Me and you have both fished 10s. It's like,
have fun soloing that, and it can be done, but it ain't fun.
It ain't fun. It's a tough game with the 10-footer. I'm not a massive 10-footer fan. Number one, they're impossible to store anywhere. My boat is not like, I don't have a ritzy enough boat for a 10-foot rod locker. I'll tell you that much. You know, it's like that, that's some pipe dream crap there. So like the collapsible 9-foot, 9.6s get down to like 7.2, 7.4. So they fit in the boat, but the physicality throughout the course of the 8-tower is way better for me. It's just way better. Like, the small of my back's not hurting. And the other thing is this, a lot of people are like, a rod that big, is it hard to cast? It's, the physics are simple. You have a bigger fulcrum. You can throw baits way easier. It's sort of like taking that jump. Like when everybody's done it, is why I use the analogy. You know, if you've been in this game for a while, you started on 6.6s and 7.6s, right? And maybe an 8-footer. And then you went from a 7.6 or an 8-footer to an 8.6. And you're like, this is amazing. It's the same thing when you go up to the 9-foot, to the 9-footers. You get up to that 9-foot heavy shield rod, you're like, why did I have this the entire time? I mean, it's lights out different. I mean, Tyler, you just did it where you went from the 8.6 to that. And I mean, it's a game changer, don't you say, for the figure eights on your end? Or what do you think?
You know what? I'm still a fan of the 5.1.
Very
depending. I like to get down on my belly and reach over the side of the boat and figure eight that way. And when a 50-incher comes in, it is so big, it swims away because it just, it can't.
It's impossible. Yeah.
You just can't figure eight it. And you know what? I'm satisfied.
You're satisfied with that. It's always awesome when the net is sticking out too far. You have to pull the net in to get the fish because the rod is so close to the boat. You got to stick your arm out to net. I've done that literally. You're sticking your arms out past the net to get the fish in the net because you've got your 6'6" premier.
Here's one thing I'll say about the long rods and the figure eight. Mm-hmm. I like them a lot better than the 8.6 because I can keep that fish farther away from the boat without him potentially seeing me. Because I've had fish look up and go, oh, crap, and they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, some of them just do that. Doesn't happen to me very often. Maybe it's because I, like, sneezed or something. I don't know. Or, you know.
Uh-oh, sorry about that, folks. We just had a little technical glitch with the phone came unplugged there. Tyler, back to the figure eight and thing, man.
Yeah. So what I was saying, with those longer rods, I can keep that fish away from the boat without the fish seeing me and spooking away. I don't have that happen very often, but I like to keep that fish away out of my sight. I like to be out of his sight, so I like to keep him out far away from the boat. And then when I bring the rod closer to the boat for a figure eight, I can go real deep and do a vertical change to keep that fish so deep below the boat, he doesn't know I'm there.
Yeah.
And plus the benefit of the longer rod, if you have real big fish following in, you can make those turns so elegantly, like, larger. Ooh. It's easier for that fish to follow the bait. Like, with shorter rods, you got to make tight turns, and those big fish go, ah, I'm fat and can't turn like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's too tight of a turn.
It's like a big electrician trying to fit in a hole. He can't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, get yourself a shield rod, folks. Do yourself a favor. Get that 9-footer. Get it. Anyway, get it. Mike says, packing a lip of dip for you southern boys. Nice.
Okay. Full stadium and then gut it, son.
Yeah, buddy.
Ain't impressed till you do it.
Gotta do it, boys. Anyway, his question, he's wanting to know if we'll do a podcast on reading structure, how to effectively fish it, write presentations, and basically all the decisions during a day. We will. I'm not going to read the whole thing because there's some really good stuff in there. Tyler, we will work up a full presentation for you, Mike. I think it's a really good topic. So, Tyler, remind me to do this. We will do
it. I have ADD. We got to write it down.
Write it down. We can work on that for next week. I love it, Mike. Another Mike says, hey, love the podcast. It's great to have weekly musky content to get through everyday life. Was listening recently and heard you guys mention a chatterbait that you guys prefer. I know you mentioned it was a smaller builder. Didn't catch the name. Recognize. Blah, blah, blah. What's the story on this thing? Blah, 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 blah. Well, it's called a Spitfire. It will be available at the Musky Shop here very shortly. So that bait is not officially out yet. Me and Tyler are fishing prototypes. I'll let you guys know on the podcast here in the upcoming. It might be a month or so is what I've heard, that those will be available at the Musky Shop. It's the best chatterbait for muskies I've ever seen. It's a killer bait. It's called a Spitfire. I will let you guys know. And we got the last one, Pat Menard. Pat Menard says, I can't stop. Okay, Pat Menard. Please tell me your name's not Pat Menards. Really?
I actually, please let that be your name.
Please. Pat Menards. Sorry. Pat Menard says I'm getting a dog and need a good musky fishing related name for it. I've been thinking of Berkeley or Bucktail, but the name Meat Painter has come to mind. What do you guys think? Should I name it after Joe Booker? This week's contest, maybe you guys could name my dog or child or my dog child. I love it. I'll roll with it.
You know, I like weird names, like a sentence for a name. So, right. Like, I like long names too, like Battlestar Galacta.
Ooh,
Battlestar Galactica or Indiana Jones or something.
Uh-huh.
But I like, for a musky name, like Figure Eight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Rip That Pounder. I don't know.
Musk
something.
We could do like, you could name it like a John Gillespie-ism, but like Muskasaura Lunge Gonjo Rex.
You could name him Fraybill.
Fraybill. Get to Fraybill. Pete.
Get
Pete,
to Fraybill.
Pete. Get to Fraybill.
Sausageville.
Sausageville. That would work. Just a litany of those things. Oh, goodness. I love it. We're not going to name your dog, guys. If you want to win some juniors inlines, name Pat Menard's dog, please.
Can we name your kid, too?
Or both.
I'll name your kid.
Yeah. I would name, if you're having a kid, name it Meat Painter.
That's yes. It.
That's it. That
yes.
Is like destined for great, the Freshwater Hall of Fame, Meat Painter. But yeah, dude, guys, you're out there. I know all you freaking listeners are a bunch of cretins. What's your best dog name you got for Pat Menard? What if this
what about Lick?
No, Tyler. That dude. Oh man, Tyler, them beans went right to your head, did they?
Fermented beans.
Yeah, let's screw it. Yeah, this week's contest, name Pat Menard's dog. We're not gonna name his dog Lick. Just what do you got? You know, win yourself a junior's inlines by naming this guy's dog. Here's the deal, though, Tyler. I'm gonna up the ante. Here's the deal. Pat Menard's, if that is your real name, if you agree to the name that we pick from the winner, so all you guys listening, you send us your best or worst dog name for Pat Menard's, right?
Mm-hmm.
You win a junior's inline. If you name the dog after that and you prove it with like a bill from a vet visit or like an official, not some Walmart crap, like an official like city dog tag that you name the dog that, we're going to give you 5 juniors inlines.
Damn.
Yeah. So like if somebody names your dog like Righteous Butthole or something like that, and you put it on, you literally legally name your dog that, that's how you win. What if he named it like Butthole Remover, Tyler?
Well, you name it Wonder Boner.
There you go. I mean, these are real products, folks. You can't judge us. We didn't invent them. That's their name. Yeah, if you name whatever the listeners come up with, if you, Pat Menard's, name your dog that, 5 juniors inlines, you don't have to tell your wife. Just go register the dog's name with the city under that. You know, whatever. She'll take it in. It'll be embarrassing. You'll get a call one day from, like, the city dog pound, and they'll be like, your dog Wonder Boner bit a kid. And now you got to go to court, and the judge is like, why didn't you watch Wonder Boner better? I mean, that's what we're trying. We're just trying to public humiliate you with a really bad dog name. So that's the deal.
Just go out in a public park looking for your dog and yell Wonder Boner.
Wonder Boner! Yeah, exactly. That's all we're looking for. You lose it, you got to put cities, like, you lose it and you got to put, like, you know, flyers around town. Lost dog, Wonder Boner.
Looking for my Wonder Boner dog.
That's what's up. So, send us your worst dog name for Pat Menard's dog. Pat, if you name it that, you're the big winner. Dudes, let us know who you want us to get on the podcast and talk to. Just let us know. We can get a hold of them. We know all these important musky guys. Other than that, we'll let you guys know next week the cool little Black Friday stuff going on. Tyler, you got anything else? Any other important things going on here?
I will wish all our deer hunters going out this weekend and over Thanksgiving good luck. You know, get some meat in the freezer, boys or women. Get them good.
Do you mean like get some meat? Literally, what you said is get some meat in the freezer, boys or women. Like, are you encouraging them to get meat and women in the freezer, or are you encouraging men and women?
I'm encouraging men and women to get meat in the freezer.
Yeah, you know, you got to be careful.
I got to specify there might be a legal issue.
Don't put any women in freezers, okay, guys? Come on. Let's keep it civil
here.
Come on now. Come on now. Man, Tyler, this is just degenerate at this point. Anyway, folks, thank you so much. Go out to your garage and ask your dad if you can see his wonder bug. Talk to you next time.